Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
We always love when we can snag a few minutes with Kevin Kugler, longtime NFL on Fox broadcaster and a Westwood One play-by-play voice. He will be working this Thanksgiving weekend, though he's got Friday in Kansas City as the Chiefs host the Raiders. Kevin, most recently, you did Vikings and Bears, and I'm really excited to talk to you about the NFC North. I know you've spent a lot of time there. Let's begin with Minnesota. As you watch this team play, what gives you an indication that the Vikings have real staying power?
Here's what I liked about the Vikings. There was a lot to like, really. I mean, Sam Darnold hasn't turned the ball over in the last couple of games, so he's playing nice, clean football. That's the first thing. Secondly, you have two excellent wide receivers, and so Justin Jefferson draws a ton of attention. Jordan Addison has a big game like he did this weekend. Three, the return of T.J. Hockenson I think is huge for this team because when we've seen it throughout his career, two-time Pro Bowler, got hurt with the ACL last year. He came out, had 100-plus yards against the Bears. And then four, Aaron Jones' health and ability to run the football. You notice this year in the league, there's a little bit more emphasis on the run game again. Running backs are kind of having a little bit of a resurgence this year. And I think Aaron Jones being able to be healthy for the Vikings adds that extra dimension to this Minnesota offense. I really like what I've seen from Kevin O'Connell's team and prepping for them last week. They're controlling the football. They're getting off to good starts. Sam Darnold, when he takes care of the ball, this offense really clicks. And, I mean, who had them at 9-2 at this point in the season?
No doubt. And the only team better in that division is Detroit. People raving about the Lions after years of them being a team of futility. What stands out to you about the change in culture and the way this team now approaches, attacks football?
Yeah, and you said the right word because it's culture with Dan Campbell. That's every time you talk with him, every time you go into the facility, you notice the culture that they've built first, whether it's from talking with Dan Campbell, whether it's Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator. You talk to the players. They've all bought in to what Dan Campbell has preached since the moment he got there. And you've got so many guys who bought in early and have just continued to basically move the football down the field with that culture in mind, Jared Goff being paramount among them. I mean, it's hard to think of it now because of the way Jared Goff has played over the course of this season. Jared Goff was seen as sort of like the placeholder for a year until they could use their first round pick after they got him to then go out and get a quarterback. And he played so well his first year with Detroit that they said, you know what? We can go get Aiden Hutchinson. We don't have to go get Jared Goff or a replacement for Jared Goff. We think this guy can be the guy. And he's been the guy. He's been the guy all year. He's really been the guy throughout his career with the Lions. And this guy's not even 30 years old yet. So you're still talking about a relatively young quarterback surrounded by two good running backs, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. You've got an excellent wide receiver core. You've got a defense that has been hit hard by injury. And that's my only worry if you're a Lions fan right now is no Hutchinson, no Anzalone right now. Two really big parts of that defense that have keyed them throughout the course of the year at various times. But I do enjoy this Lions team, and that culture is so strong. And they came into it and unabashed said, we should be going to the Super Bowl this year. And they are the best team in football that I've seen in person. I've not seen the Eagles yet in person. I won't see the Chiefs in person until this weekend. From what I've seen in person, the Lions are the best team I've seen this year.
Do you remember when he first did his introductory press conference, the whole biting kneecaps thing, and then that trade of Jared Goff from the Rams to the Lions? And I think a lot of the reaction was kind of smirking about the fact that the Lions were going to start this brand new tenure with a quarterback that the Rams no longer wanted. And it was almost considered like a cast off and kind of a joke. Same old Lions, not going to have a quarterback, not going to be a winner.
There's a ton of skepticism. We had our TV crew had his very first Lions game. And so we went in, you remember when the press conferences were happening at the beginning of the year, everybody was talking about a Starbucks order. There was a lot of conversation about Dan Campbell's Starbucks order because it was some sort of wacky, lots of caffeine Starbucks order. And so our producer, Mark Teitelman, who now produces Thursday Night Football for Amazon, we've got a Starbucks gift card, and we brought it to our first meeting with Dan Campbell. Like, hey, we want to fund your Starbucks for the rest of this week so that you can, you know, be at your top level for your Lions coaching debut. And he laughed, and he thought it was really funny. And then they went out and played an interesting game, that opening game. But everybody is so used to being skeptical of Detroit. And I think you could say that about Detroit anything. Detroit Tigers, oh, they're not going to compete. All of a sudden, they're the Detroit Tigers competing for the playoffs. Detroit Lions, come on, they were 0 and whatever not too many years ago. This isn't your father's Lions. Maybe it's your grandfather's Lions when they were competing for championships way back in the day. Because this team is for real. They all buy in. They're well coached. It's a coaching staff full of guys who played this game and played at a high level. I mean, Mark Brunell has done such an amazing job with Jared Goff as the quarterback's coach. What a great resource for Jared Goff. You're talking to a guy who's been there, who's done that, who's played at the highest level and succeeded at the highest level with the Jaguars. And now he's coaching you and helping you along. And people forget Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl, so it's not like he's never been on the biggest stage. I'm so impressed by what I've seen consistently this year with this Detroit Lions team.
What is Dan Campbell like when he's not on the sidelines, when you're just talking about football?
He is exactly the same person you see in the press conference, which to me is really rare. You know, sometimes a guy puts on a public face and then privately he's something else. Dan Campbell is exactly what you see when you watch him in a press conference, when you watch him on the sidelines. He's intense, he's passionate, and he is very engaged in whatever is happening at that moment, whether it's a conversation with broadcasters, whether it's a play on the field. I am unabashedly a fan of Dan Campbell. I think he's done a phenomenal job with what was the hardest job in the NFL. And I say was because that's past tense. This is not the hardest job anymore. They've done a terrific job from ownership on down, recommitting to building this franchise into a winner. And they did it. Look, they hired away my broadcast partner my first year at Fox. They took Chris Spielman right out of the booth and they put him in the front office to help him rebuild a franchise that he loves. I don't know if it was because he was working with me that he was so eager to leave before the season was even over, or if it was the opportunity, and I don't really want to ask because I don't want to find out, but we're going to assume it was the opportunity, and it looks like that's paid off for him too.
Kevin Kugler is with us here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Westwood One, and Fox play-by-play announcer, and buried in football this time of the year, including Thanksgiving. I've actually never been to a football game over a Thanksgiving weekend other than, say, high school when I was younger. What's that atmosphere like when it's the holiday and fans have their traditions?
In a place like Kansas City, it's always fun, and you just kind of ramp it up a little bit more when everybody's relaxed because it's the holiday weekend. And so Kansas City is always one of those collegiate atmospheres, which is, to me, a little more ramped up, a little more rambunctious, a little more wild, a big, big tailgating atmosphere outside. And I can't imagine that it'll be any different. And it's the perfect time of day. It's 2 o'clock central time in the afternoon for kickoff. Those guys can be in there with their griddles out. There'll be plenty of food in the parking lot. Everybody will be nice and tailgated by the time that thing opens up. And at 2 o'clock, they'll be in there because, look, the Raiders are struggling. We all know it. We're still trying to figure out who's actually going to start at quarterback for the Raiders on Friday. And Kansas City smells blood. I don't care what the records are of these two teams. When the Raiders and Chiefs play, nobody wants to be the loser in that game. And Kansas City, you look at the record, and they appear to be dominant, even though they're winning all of their games seemingly by one score this season.
I can't remember the last time Kansas City blew out an opponent, and Patrick Mahomes mentioned it following the Carolina game. He said it would be nice to have a couple blowouts where we weren't having to feel that stress in the fourth quarter. What does that say to you? The Super Bowl champion, the toughest out in sports, does not blow out opponents the way that Detroit does.
I don't ever get concerned about it because I watched them last year. And if you remember last year, there was a lot of concern with Kansas City because the offense wasn't doing anything. What are they doing? They were kind of pedestrian through the middle point of the season last year, and they limped along at times. And then they got to the playoffs and they go and they win the Super Bowl. To me, as long as Andy Reid is coaching, Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback at a high level, it's similar to me the way the Patriots were with Tom Brady. I didn't know what you had during the regular season, and sometimes I wasn't sure it even mattered. There was always the thought process around the football world that there were times where Bill Belichick would be like, let's just mix up some rotations and let's just see what we can do because it's week 9 and I want to experiment a little bit with what's going on. And I sometimes get the sense with Kansas City, especially last year, you know, let's see what we can do with this week. Maybe we'll try to throw the ball more to this guy this week just because we can. Get to the playoffs, and then they crank it up. Now, I know it's not that simple, but it sometimes feels that way with Kansas City. You'd rather win those games than lose them. And to me, a team that knows how to win close games is really well established for the postseason, because more often than not, that's what you're going to find in the postseason. You're going to find good teams that play close games, and there is something to be said for being able to win that. Now, I will also say there's something to be said for what the Lions have done. And I don't know, you see this too often in this league, which is blow out the bad teams that they play. We had them against the Titans. They blew them out. And you just don't see it regularly like they've done. But they played the Titans, they played the Jaguars, and they crushed them in both of those opportunities. That's a rare thing in this league because it is still difficult to blow teams out to that level, regardless of the record going into the game.
Kevin, this is a total tangent. My big fear is that Bill Belichick is going to decide he likes broadcasting so much and doesn't miss the stress of being on the sidelines, and we may never see him coach a football game again. Wouldn't that be odd?
It would especially be odd for me, for Bill Belichick, because it has been strange this year not seeing him on the sidelines and seeing him yuck it up in the broadcast booth from time to time. That, to me, is a puzzler. Not because I don't think he's good, because, quite honestly, I think he brings a ton of insight when he's on the air. But it's just not anything I ever expected to see from Bill Belichick after his long, unbelievable coaching career. I still don't think he's done. I think he's going to end up somewhere next season. There's a lot of rumors. Will it be in Jacksonville? Will it be somewhere else? They're going to have still their franchise quarterback plus a first-round pick that's going to be very, very high. Perhaps that's a spot that he looks at. But it would be strange for me to think that we have seen the last of him on the sidelines, and that of all the things that would claim him, broadcasting would be the guy who was never particularly effusive in his press conferences. That's where he ends up as a broadcaster and not as a coach again.
Extremely ironic. You had a chance to see the Chargers not that long ago. Jim is clearly making a big change there. What's it like to have him back in the NFL?
It's not surprising to see him have success because he's won every single place he's been a head coach. Every single place. I saw them earlier in the year on that dual Monday night game. We got the chance to go to Arizona in October and see them play the Cardinals. Arguably their worst game of the year offensively. They didn't get anything done against the Arizona defense, and they lost that game. But watching what he's been able to do, and you knew having him with a grade A quarterback, he was going to make that quarterback better. He has. Justin Herbert is better today than he was last year. And B, you knew he was going to figure out a way to motivate this team to win enough games in what might be the best division in football, and I say might because I'm sure there'd be some arguments with others, including the NFC North. But that division, certainly in the AFC, is incredibly challenging when you have the Chiefs, you have the resurgent Broncos, who have looked great, and all of a sudden Bo Nix is hot on the heels for a Rookie of the Year award. You have the Chargers, who are playing solid football. And I know the Raiders' record is bad. Somebody's got to lose a bunch of games in that division. And if they had a quarterback that was stable right now at that Raiders team, there's two or three other wins that they would have this season because they have some nice pieces in Las Vegas. So seeing Harbaugh in the NFL and winning is not anything I'm surprised with. He's a unique personality. There's no doubt about that. But he's not unique to winning because that's what he does everywhere he goes as head coach.
Kevin Kugler with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence, and busy week for him, really busy fall because of the all-consuming nature of football, but also doing college basketball. I'm trying to wrap my brain around some of these new Big Ten matchups or even SEC matchups that don't seem to fit or make sense. You've been doing the job a long time. How does that change the way you prepare or get ready for games that they're new?
Yeah, you have to learn all of these new teams all of a sudden. Like, who are these teams that I'm looking for? Who am I watching right now? What am I seeing from these teams? I've seen some of them when we get to the NCAA tournament. For example, Oregon is a team I've known a very long time, mainly because I understand the style that they play, because Dana Altman was in my backyard in Omaha as the head coach of Creighton for so many years, and I've gotten the chance to see him over the years at Oregon. So I have a little bit of a feel for them. For USC, I mean, they brought in 11 transfers this year. So it's a brand new team from last year. I mean, and that's the world of college basketball these days. UCLA brought in a bunch of new guys. They're a nice, solid team. Purdue doesn't have Zach Edey, obviously a traditional Big Ten, but a different team without the big man who's now in the NBA. There's a lot of interesting new matchups to learn this year, but college basketball is going to be so different to cover from now on, because so much movement happens in the college game that every single year you find somebody that came from somewhere that you've never heard of that all of a sudden is making a play. You know, we had a guy last night in the game from Green Bay that had transferred in from NAIA Langston, and he put up 30 on Ohio State. I mean, you're just talking about guys that are coming out of nowhere because the portal is wide open and everybody's scouring everywhere to find somebody to help them win in this unique era of college athletics.
As much as I understand, even before all of these changes in college sports, that coaching is an exhausting venture, and guys and gals who go all in, it really does take you away from a lot of, you know, your personal life and requires all of you. But I can't even imagine now in this environment, and you hear more and more people who are walking away, like Tony Bennett, I don't know, at least bittersweet that you're losing some of the greats, and it does appear as though they just don't want to or can't keep up with the landscape in college sports.
I think it's so frustrating. I had a coach tell me one time at the college basketball level, a prominent coach in a big time program, who said, we fought for decades to keep agents out of the game. And then we handed the game over to agents. And that's exactly what's happened. All of a sudden, when a coach needs to find something or a sports information person needs to find something, they don't necessarily go to the kid anymore. They go to their representative. They go to their agent right now. It's very much a pro style of dealing with the athletes without the pro guardrails. There's more changes that have to come. I don't know that this model is sustainable as it currently is for college athletics. I think you're going to see more of a contract situation down the road as we fully embrace this pay-for-play model, because I don't know that you can keep it going the way it is right now without having the whole thing fall apart. There's got to be more guardrails, something in there to make this a more sustainable situation, because right now it is not.
What do you do with all your frequent flyer miles, Kevin?
I don't know. I still have them. They're all just sitting there. They look at me and they say, look, how big can this number go on this frequent flyer mile number? And maybe I'll use them someday. And, you know, I fly enough, they never expire. So someday I'll go around the world. But you know how it is. After you travel all year, the last thing you want to do is travel somewhere.
Yes, that's so true. Where will you take your Thanksgiving meal then?
Thanksgiving meal will be at home in Omaha, because since we live in Omaha, I can drive to Kansas City, so I will enjoy Thanksgiving with my family, and then I will drive down to Kansas City, and I will do the Chiefs game for Westwood One on Friday, and then I will drive back and go to Jacksonville for the weekend with Fox, and then start a whole nother week and a whole new month. If you asked me what was coming up then, I don't really have any idea. We're a day-to-day thing here, Amy. It's every day we look at the calendar and say, is there a game today? Yes. Okay, what am I doing? That? Okay, great.
Nice. It's hard to believe we're on the cusp of December, but to go along with that, I'll be celebrating my 1-year anniversary of being married. And when my husband and I entered the barn where we had our reception, we walked into the Imperial March. The DJ who we had hired to do the wedding, he found out about our musical choice, of course, and he gave us Star Wars lightsabers to go along with. And so I don't know if it's ever been done before. Maybe it has, but we felt pretty creative walking in, being introduced as husband and wife to the Imperial March with lightsabers. I feel like that puts me in a special Star Wars club, Kev.
I can't imagine there's been too many people, especially who blend sports and nerddom the way you and I both do, proudly, by the way. I can't imagine there's anybody who could really blend the two together quite like you do. I mean, that's a rare trait to be able to say that and then dive right into the NFC Central or the NFC North or the whatever you want to talk about. There's a lot of different things that you could blend. But lightsaber reception and the National Football League, that's not a combination. That's not peanut butter and jelly.
That's why we're special, Kevin. We can do it seamlessly. Seamlessly.
Absolutely. And we're proud of it.
Well, it's always good to hear you. I see you very little, but I do hear you a lot on TV. Every now and then we'll catch you on camera. But working for Fox also has Westwood One and the Kansas City game this weekend, which will be, I guess it's Friday. So this is new Black Friday thing. But exciting always to cross paths and to have you on the show. So happy Thanksgiving to you. And thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to your husband as you guys celebrate another Thanksgiving as husband and wife. And, we'll catch up again probably sometime in May or June when you need to kill some time during the off season.
That is not true. We don't use you, Kevin Kugler, as a way to fill time. First of all, I don't do that on my show. We always have creative, very entertaining topics and features for you all. But when we reached out to him, his response was, you don't write, you don't call. It's a busy time of year, but we never forget our Star Wars nerddom. And truth be told, when Kevin and I do communicate, it's usually about Star Wars. It's not about football unless we're getting ready to do an interview here on the show. So Kevin's terrific. I've been listening to him longer than I've been at this network.